1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A vigil in Vancouver, a night after a driver plowed an SUV into a crowd at a Filipino celebration, killing 11 people, including a five-year-old. Mayor Kim says they do not... there was no terrorism involved. President Trump's 100th day in office is tomorrow, and a CBS News poll shows his support on the economy is slipping, but a majority likes his plan on immigration. The Vatican says it has sealed the Sistine Chapel, and the conclave to choose a new pope will begin a week from Wednesday. This tourist came all the way from Australia.
And to come from so far to be able to not to go into one of the major sites is very disappointing.
And Vladimir Putin just announcing at least a couple of days' truce in the war in Ukraine. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Exceeding expectations and then some. Lisa Hale has a wrap-up of the NFL draft in Green Bay.
Organizers thought 250,000 people would visit the NFL draft in Green Bay this year. They were wrong. The official count over the three-day period was 600,000 attendees. John Baker, head of global events for the NFL.
I got it completely wrong. I thought 250,000 people would come to this draft over 3 days, and you have completely blown that number out the doors.
The NFL confirmed attendance Thursday was 205,000 people, Friday, 175,000, and on Saturday, 220,000 people attended the NFL draft. Green Bay is the smallest market to host an NFL team, but it tied the numbers seen in Nashville in 2019. Detroit set the record last year when 775,000 people attended the 3 days of draft activities. And for those keeping track, there was only one arrest and 8 ejections over the entire 3 day period. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
And watches and warnings may be issued today for the risk of tornadoes in the state tonight. A tornado watch means be prepared and ready to act quickly. If an isolated storm this evening gains some steam, it could drop a twister from it rapidly. That's when a warning will be issued. It means that a tornado is on the ground and actually seen by someone, or it's showing strong rotation on radar. It's when you need to take shelter immediately. Always take watches and warnings seriously, especially today. Tornadoes can be rain-wrapped in a line and hiding, especially late tonight and moving in fast. I'd say right now is a good time to stay alert, stay tuned, and have your plan ready for action. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs. Last night in Milwaukee, the Bucks losing to the Pacers, 129-103, and they've likely lost Damian Lillard again. After missing 14 games due to a blood clot in his right calf muscle, today he goes in for an MRI to see if he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in his left leg. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Dealing with what he's dealing the whole year, then finding out about his calf, and then, you know, staying in shape, fighting through, being able to come back. I always had respect for Dame before we became teammates, but now my respect level is much higher.
Baseball yesterday in St. Louis, the Brewers' Christian Yelich, the designated hitter on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Yelich now 1-for-1 and a ground ball through the right side. Another base hit. Two runs are in. The Brewers have scored a touchdown against the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Brewers went on to win 7-1. The Packers going back to work today after drafting 8 new players over the weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Civic Media.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. 7:06. Nice to have you here on a Monday morning, April 28th. It is a dark and stormy morning across parts of Wisconsin, and so we're going to start right away with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and then we'll get back to Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Greg Bach. But Brittany, let's kick things off with you, because what's going through central and northern Wisconsin right now, this is just the appetizer of what is yet to come coming up today.
It really is. It's just going to wake you up a little bit, some rumbles of thunder, maybe some small hail, and some downpours on occasion. Of course, that's through central Wisconsin, headed towards the Fox Valley now. And this is the warm front lifting through the state. I mean, we've got nice temperatures already in the low 60s off west, even up north and down south. If you've got the rain, it's in the 40s right now. So what we're looking at this afternoon is the perfect atmosphere for thunderstorms to spark up, become severe very rapidly, and they could produce some strong tornadoes, large hail, damaging winds, and also some heavy, heavy downpours, where we're at least looking at an inch of rainfall rolling through the state this afternoon and evening. And we've got not only the round of tornado storms that could spark up this afternoon, but also a line moving through later on this evening that could have some storms and tornadoes embedded in there, hidden in rain. And as those roll through in that line, about 70 mile per hour wind gusts are possible, hail as well. So we've got a lot to prepare for. Multiple rounds of storms headed our way. Again, I think from about 3 to 4-ish, some of these strong ones will start to spark in southwestern parts of the state, rolling in towards the central area, and hopefully starting to weaken as they move east and towards Lake Michigan this evening. But of course, stay weather savvy. I just want to make sure everyone has a way to get a warning, even if you're asleep, because this line tonight could come through about 10, maybe even to midnight into some places like Madison. So I've got a weather radio, a NOAA weather radio that kind of goes off. It'll wake me up in case my phone isn't loud enough. And I've got a lot of things too, like flashlights, different stuff ready to go, taking shelter in the lowest level, interior room, things like that. You definitely want to have the plan in place now. Don't panic. Just have a plan in case you're in this situation, because the situation could unfold rather quickly. And of course, when you're in a panic mode, you kind of forget things. So just practice your plan. Know what to do. Make sure everybody's in the loop. Make sure your friends, your family, everybody knows to stay aware this evening.
Yeah. And look, we all who have cell phones, you know, we play with the notifications. Sometimes we turn them off or on for this or that. Today would be a good day at looking at what is your particular weather app or whatever it is that you want to use. And if you normally have the notifications off, turn them on for today and tonight, because that one might really be the one that affects you and you want to know all about it. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It is cloudy with a thunderstorm, 45 degrees. It was a great weekend. I got some yard work done, watched the NFL draft. Green Bay did an excellent job. He says, I've got my cell phone and my iPad staying charged. He sent us a note about how they covered tornadoes with, you know, people using their phones to call into radio stations back in the 1960s. And Alicia writes in, orange sunrise here in Seymour. As my dad always used to say, orange in the morning, sailors take warning. And
I was going to say that. Yes, I noticed that this morning too, Alicia. It was kind of an eerie vibe because you knew, you know, tonight is just going to be bad.
Yeah. And we mentioned the you know, the humidity and the warmth. And so I think everybody has that. I mean, we don't all have like our left knee feels a certain way when it's going to get stormy. You know, not everybody's like right. that. But there are definitely some conditions where almost everybody, you go outside and you go, oh, yeah, this feels like something's off, you know.
It sure does. And don't let the sunshine fool you. We are going to see spots of sunshine. It is going to be nice at some points this afternoon. But that right there is the perfect mixture and fuel for these storms to get so strong. So don't be fooled.
And Rob Concur says that even with the thunderstorm in Tigerton, there's an orange sunrise out there as well. So forewarned is forearmed. So thank you, Brittany, very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it as always. Let's talk a bit more about the NFL draft because Dr. Lyerly was there. It was right there in her backyard, essentially. And Selena Heller made the drive all the way over, cramming a kid's bike in the car. Not for her, although she probably could get away with it, but there was, what, a bike parade that Emery could take part in over there? What was the story there?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So my friend Aaron Kotenberg, Kurt Kotenberg, used to work at the station over here. So we talked Friday night, and she said there's a bike parade, and the kids can be in it. And so I crammed the bike in the car at like midnight. We left here at 3:30 in the morning and we drove to Green Bay because, you know, that's the coolest tradition that the kids can participate in during Packers training camp. It goes back to, oh my gosh, what, 1958. So it's the coolest thing. So we got there and walked a long ways. And then we got to the stadium and 250 kids were in this bike parade riding into Lambeau. And it was the coolest thing. And let's see, there are Packers alumni, Nick Barnett, Tremont Williams, Nick Collins joined the parade also. Let's see who else. Packer CEO Mark Murphy, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, they led the parade, and we drove right into the draft stage. And so it was pretty cool.
Was there anything said about the unusually tall blonde kid that was riding her bike somewhere near the back? Kristen, of course, is pointing at herself. Yes.
Were you in the bike parade?
Perfect. I was not, but I love that they do this. And if you've ever had the opportunity to see it during training camp, it is one of the most enlightening, uplifting things, especially to see these new players who are new to the community and suddenly they find themselves riding a child's bike and and walking with their parents and having these conversations and looking at the media. It just really, it screams community. It's beautiful.
It really does.
I was trying to explain it all to Emery, you know, she, you know, it's like, okay, I'm riding my bike and that's just fun enough for her. Uh-huh. But I had to explain and how it was so cool. And I've always wanted you to do this, but it was a very cold morning. So that was kind of a factor into the morning also. So all the kids were a little cold, but it was fun.
But, you know, again, you've got a memory there. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the nice thing about it. Hey, just to change the subject briefly, I'd normally mention what's in our daily newsletter here. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, the newsletter happens to mention that it is time to start getting ready for farmers markets. They will be, popping up around the state, the ones that aren't, you know, there all the time. And there includes a link to a handful of farmers markets that are so popular that you should put them on your bucket list maybe for a road trip. Selena, you are no stranger to the Eau Claire farmers market, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, we love the farmers market. And, you know, I think farmers markets evolve into just like community events now because ours here in Eau Claire, it's under the Pavilion in Phoenix Park, and they've added like an artist market and entertainment and balloons and just so many different things, music some days. And they're just, really events, community gatherings, something fun to do on a Saturday morning. So yeah, they're so much fun to get out to. We try to get there a lot.
Kristen, you have multiple markets that you go to, or is there just one standard one that you like to stop in at?
Green Bay has a wonderful market on Saturday mornings. I came from Madison, and the Madison Farmers Market is just off the charts. Oh, yeah. And I didn't think that Green Bay was going to be able to compare, but they do. And they have another one on Wednesday nights on the other side of the river. So Green Bay doesn't mess around when it comes to farmers markets. Highly encouraged, even if you're a farmers market snob like me.
Farmers market snob like Kristen.
Well, now I want you to come down to Kenosha and check out our farmers market, because I think it starts outdoor next weekend or with the week after that. And I will just say this. Every Saturday, you can pet some puppies.
There's
a pet rescue who comes every single week, and they always have anywhere between 4 to 6 puppies, and they're ready to go. Trust me, my wife tells me every Saturday they're ready to go.
Get some coffee, a pastry, maybe some meat, and pet a puppy. You're good.
There you go.
Yeah. Sounds like a nice lineup. How did things go over the weekend with the Dr. Kristen Lierley show? You had Patrick McBride on.
Oh, Dr. Pat McBride. He's a preventive cardiologist. He's the former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And we talked about NIH funding, how the cuts in funding are affecting the university, not just these research studies, like a handful of research studies, but really undermining the purpose of the university at its core. You know, if you know about the Wisconsin idea means that the University of Wisconsin is where the ideas are generated, but that goes out into the community. And in the community, through your extension offices, they bring those ideas back to the university to do the studies. It's this big holistic thing that benefits every single person here in Wisconsin, and it's all at risk because of these cuts in NIH funding. So that's what we mostly talked about, but we definitely had to get into some Wisconsin sports as well. And he shared some fond memories of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Junior Bridgman. Got a little tearful. Aww,
and so you'll be doing this again next Saturday, based out of the Green Bay Civic Media radio station.
Yeah, next Saturday, we're going to talk with Sheboygan Mayor Ryan Sorensen and some other folks from the Sheboygan area. We're going to be talking about what's happening with childcare and how it doesn't just affect families who need childcare right now, but it affects entire communities. So that's going to be a really interesting conversation from lots of different perspectives.
Okay, so look over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn a bit more about that. Hey, Selena, you mentioned talking to the curator of the Packers Hall of Fame, somebody that you knew from your Black River Falls backyard. And so I thought we've got just enough time to maybe hear a clip about some of the draft stuff there. Can you set that up?
Sure. Yeah. Brent Hensel is from Black River Falls, and we went to high school together. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a great time to talk to Brent about the museum and all the things going on there. So let's see. Do you want to hear that now, Pat?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Set that up. What are we going to hear?
All right. I think, let's see, the first time he talks about, what did we talk about first?
You know what? We'll play it, and then you can tell us what we heard.
All right.
Hit it, Greg.
I'm always thinking about the history and long term. So one of the things I got to do this week was go through the NFL stage in the green room. It was well before the draft. I wasn't anywhere near there during the draft. But we got to request certain things, like huge banners and a phone from the green room. And then 10 years from now or 20 years from now, if we will look back at this moment when Green Bay hosted the draft, we will have artifacts. So working on getting stuff, trying to get Mark Murphy's speech that he, when he read off his notes from the first night. So that's one of the things I do. And Lambeau Field now is hosting more and more events that aren't necessarily football. Like we had a soccer match a few years ago. We've had the Badgers. So I'm always trying to collect, because you never know what you might turn into an exhibit in the future.
That's true. You got to be ready for everything there from Brent. So that's what he had to say, Selena, just in case you were wondering.
That's what we were talking about. Okay. I didn't know which one was first. So yes, Packers go back 105 years. So Brent has a big job of saving all of that history, and he wanted to save things from the draft too for people later, like he said. So that was pretty neat. And then we talked about...
We'll talk a little more about it in a little bit. Let's take a break here. Still to come, we have a former head of the U.S. Forest Service coming on to talk about President Trump opening up national forests to more commercial logging. We'll have more live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, and here's what's going on in our Wausau market. As again, we started last week with the new expanded Mornings with Pat Kreitlow program, and we are able to come here to our Wausau studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau twice during the 7 o'clock hour and twice during the 8 o'clock hour. So at 7:22, 7:52, 8:22, and 8:52 a.m. each and every morning, we will focus on what's going on here in our community in central Wisconsin. And one thing that we're going to be keeping an eye on here this morning is the weather. In fact, there's a chance of some very severe weather as we get into our Monday, especially into the afternoon and evening. And to let you know what to expect coming up at 8:22, we will be joined by meteorologist Brittany Rouleau. She will let us know just how much of a chance of severe weather we'll have. And when we talk about severe weather, it is severe thunderstorms and even possibility of tornadoes as well. So Brittany Merlot will be with us coming up at 8:22 this morning. In our final segment of the program, we will have our number for the day. And of course, the person that takes our number for the day quiz each and every weekday is our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
First of all, how was your weekend?
My weekend was nice and quiet. A beautiful weather. I got to be outside a lot yesterday. Just take a walk around the neighborhood. I was able to sit on the back porch, watch the sunset. Just a very relaxing, calm weekend.
I thought that Saturday was the best day we'd had so far this spring. I mean, it was so sunny. It was really comfortable temperatures. In fact, I drove around a little bit because we had a meeting on Friday, and one of our vice presidents was here and talking about the needing some pictures from around Wausau. So I said, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to go around and take a few pictures. So I did that. I took a half dozen pictures, sent them off, and I think it was the perfect kind of day to have the city of Wausau and its many wonderful locations in the background. So did that on Saturday. Chilled out this weekend as well. But I tell you, this morning, as I laid in bed really early this morning, heard a lot of thunder. There were a lot of lightning bolts out there early this morning, some rather heavy rain this morning as well. And again, this is only the beginning, and it's been a bit of a drencher so far this morning. Yeah. But the thing about it is we are going to continue to see some of these possibilities of thunderstorms this morning. And then as we get into later into the afternoon and into the evening, it's almost, I was looking at some of the forecasts and it says 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. That's a pretty high chance.
Yes, it is.
But the thing about it as well is there will be an opportunity for severe weather. And especially, I think, as you get further to the west, maybe the southwest. But we're going to get all those details coming up from Brittany Merlot a little bit later on. But be aware as you get ready, perhaps you're at work right now, and as you get ready to head home later this afternoon, that could be some of the time frame that we have when it comes to the real severe weather. And I'm talking about severe thunderstorms and also maybe even tornadic activity as well. And it will be multiple rounds of thunderstorms, basically. I mean, you may see one go through and think, oh, okay, it stopped. We're through it. No, there's a possibility of some multiple rounds of T-storms, and some of these storms may produce small to marginally severe hail this morning through early this afternoon, and that will be mainly west and north of the Fox Valley. Thunderstorm coverage will probably be lower during the mid to late afternoon, but any isolated storms that develop will have potential to produce tornadoes, damaging winds, and large hail. There is potential for a significant severe weather outbreak as a line of storms moves through this evening and into the early overnight hours. Damaging winds and embedded tornadoes will be the primary threats. And that's why we're going to bring on Brittany a little bit later on, because if there's somebody that really knows this stuff, it's Brittany Merlot. And she's somebody that has been somebody that's followed these storms, has actually gone into the heart of these storms many times before. Yeah. So we'll find out all that information with Brittany coming up just a little bit later on.
Should be an interesting weather day for sure.
Do you have a rehearsal tonight?
I do. The start of our third week of rehearsals, and we are really taking a big step forward tonight because we are going through the entire first act and working through all the blocking, all the choreography, and the vocals as well. So we're 3 weeks in and we're already starting to work through acts. So we're definitely taking a big leap, but
it's coming along pretty well.
Any other way.
Coming along well. Have you learned your lines yet, or are you still just working through that?
I'm feeling pretty good about my lines. It's coming along. I still got a little bit of work to do on the songs, but
you're roughly a month away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right now. It's the 28th of April, and it's like almost exactly a month for you till you start her up. So,
man, where does the time go?
It certainly is. So
I keep saying that every time I remember that I've done this long enough. I should know that time goes pretty fast when you're having fun in theater.
Right now, again, some light rain out there. There perhaps are still some thunderstorms in the area as well. Temperature of 49 degrees. So, again, be aware that it could be a rather active weather day, and we will keep you up to speed on that throughout the morning here on 98.9 WXU, and actually through the afternoon and the evening as well. Coming up after our information update at the bottom of the hour, Pat Kreitlow will be back with us for more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Ian and myself will be back with you at 7:52 this morning. Hopefully you had a wonderful weekend and off to a good start here on this Monday morning. The time is 7:30. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Metnair On Air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. The governor has proposed budget and lawmakers want tax cuts. Are they close to an agreement? Joanne Krulatz breaks it down.
Tax and budget talks are getting off the ground at the Capitol. Democratic Governor Tony Evers said Tuesday that he's had meetings with Republican legislative leaders and staff. Evers said his goal would be to have work completed this summer, but the legislature seems a little slow this time around. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss believes the governor realizes that there will not be no spending without a reduction in taxes.
I think the governor realizes that we're not going to spend any more money unless we have the ability to reduce taxes and help folks deal with inflation. And I think we realize that we're not going to ever get a tax cut if we don't talk with the governor and see where his priorities are as well. So we're very early in the process, but again, I'm an optimist. I hope we can get a budget across the finish line.
Republicans prefer passing a tax package before moving on to the budget, while Evers wants any cuts to be part of the overall budget. Evers said he won't make a decision regarding a possible third term until after the budget is finished.
And when the sirens go off or an emergency alert pops up on your phone telling you to take shelter from a tornado warning, do you know where to go? Always head to the lowest level, like a basement if you have it, or the ground floor. And pick a spot that's got as many walls between you and the outside as possible. That may be a closet, bathroom, under the stairs. Most tornadoes tend to tear through upper levels and rip out exterior walls as the roof blows off. Then, flying debris becomes missiles, so you'll want to find something to cover yourself up with. Get low and cover your head. And if you're stuck driving, pull over and go inside somewhere. Seek shelter. Don't stay in your car or go under an overpass, because you're seriously safer getting into a ditch. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Did you know that parts of the Shawamagon-Nicolet National Forest up north are under an emergency designation? It sounds serious, right? It's not really. It's a shortcut that the Trump administration is using to short-circuit proper forest management and to fast-track commercial logging on more than 100 million acres of national forest land across the country. It has led to an open letter about concerns from six different former leaders of the U.S. Forest Service, and we have one of them here this morning. Dave Bombeck served as chief of the United States Forest Service from 1997 to 2001. He also served as acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, making him the only person to have led the nation's two largest public land management agencies. Mike has described himself as a combat biologist, due to his battles with other agencies and officials who were more concerned with road building and engineering than environmental conservation. That doesn't make him some kind of extremist. Rather, he earned a reputation for crafting partnerships and policies that integrated science and economics to manage federal lands in the long-term public interest. Not bad for a guy who got to start working as a fishing guide for 11 summers near Hayward. We're also joined by Joe Hovell, who's been involved in sustainable forestry and conservation for decades. He chairs the Partners in Forestry Cooperative. He heads land conservation for the Northwood Alliance Incorporated and was the main author of their handbooks. He is consistently invited to give presentations at the Ottawa National Forest Visitor Center in Watersmeet, Michigan. So Joe Hovell and Dave Bombeck, good morning to both of you. Thank you, Joe, for being here. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Pat. We're happy to be on.
Yep. And Dave, you're on joining us by phone, correct?
Yes, this is Mike, yes.
Or Mike, I'm sorry, Mike. Let me ask first about what it is that this emergency declaration is that led to this letter of concern by former heads of the National Forest Service. Mike, tell us more about that.
Well, it was really about two things. Number one, concern about people and concern about land. First of all, 3,400 probationary employees of the Forest Service across the country were fired with about 1 day notice. And the word probation is a bit misleading because probationary employees are often employees that are veterans that have worked as seasonals. Many have many summers of experience, or many are trained EMTs, they're trained first responders, they're trained in chainsaw safety, typical people that, you know, fight fires, go out west, or wherever they're needed. So, number one, abusive treatment of local employees, and these are people that live in small towns like Hayward and Park Falls and Rhinelander and Eagle River, places like that. So that was the primary concern, is the way the employees were treated without any basically humanity of thinking, you know, these are young families with child care expenses, with house payments, depending upon health insurance. And that's initially what's concerned us.
Well, not to mention then what it's going to do for the folks who would use our national forest and other facilities, and we've heard about the layoffs that are affecting national parks as well. So this is something that's going to be noticed by far more than just all of these fired workers, right?
Absolutely. Well, we've got not only the fired probationary employees, but the reduction of another 5,000 or more employees across the country, basically about a third of the workforce. And again, these are people that live in small towns and communities for the most part. This isn't reducing the size of a workforce in Washington, D.C. But some of the services that we won't see, you know, we've got an executive order calling for a 25% increase in timber harvest. Well, you know, who's going to do the work? Who's going to lay out the timber sales? Who's going to do what is typically done if so many people are laid off? plus potential campground closures. Even though the directive from on high has been to keep campgrounds open, you've got things like, you know, pumping toilets, emptying garbage cans that people don't often think of. And again, this sort of hurts the little guy, because people that use these campgrounds are typically more local. They can't afford cruises. They need an inexpensive vacation. And they drive, you know, 50 miles, 100 miles on a lake and fish and spend time with their families. And those services just won't be there like they have been in the past. Plus, many of these employees are, you know, EMTs. They're first responders. That's the way they've been trained. And they're part of their local volunteer fire department. So it's very far-reaching, far beyond what meets the eye.
Yeah, and Joe, let's bring you into this as well, because you certainly shared your thoughts on, you know, Partners in Forestry Cooperative and Northern Alliance, and you know, some of your concerns about national forests. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
As you show on the screen, Pat, I wonder how many people realize the impact that national forests have on the lives of ordinary Americans. My top line shows that over 900 cities rely on national forest watersheds for their clean water. Let's think of Denver, Portland, Little Rock, Helena, Oakland, Salt Lake City, for example. The average annual value of timber from national forests in the past 20 years is about $330 million, but the value of water from these same lands exceeds $3.8 billion. And over 65 million Americans depend on national forests for their water. Two-thirds of all wild and scenic rivers are on national forest lands. And a point that I'll add there, there are some wild and scenic rivers in the Ottawa National Forest in the Upper Peninsula, and those rivers start in Wisconsin. They start right here in the Border Lakes region in Vilas and Iron Wisconsin.
And let me take things back over to you, Mike, and say that for people that are hearing these concerns and saying, well, this is just a bunch of, you know, radical environmentalist tree huggers, and they want nothing to happen with the forest. They want it to return to its primeval form when there's all of this, you know, economic potential in there. I don't actually hear anybody talking like that. Sustainable forestry practices as a part of the national and the Wisconsin economy have always been the situation here. This isn't, you're not looking for some otherwise radical agenda, right, Mike?
That's exactly right, Pat. The for example, on the Shawamigan and Nicolet, the average timber harvest a few decades ago was from 80 to 90 million board feet. And a board foot takes about 15,000 board feet to build the average single family home. That's been gradually increasing over the last couple of decades to now in the neighborhood of 110 to 120 million board feet. So those values are out there, and they will continue to be out there as long as we harvest timber in a sustainable way. And the thing to keep in mind is the congressional mandate is under the Multiple Use Sustained Yield Act that puts all resources on an equal plane. And, you know, we've got to share. There's not enough to go around for everybody to have all of what they want. So, and that's, in a sense, is a challenge. The agency does have a tough mandate, but it's recreation. It's about water. It's about hunting and fishing. It's about trails. It's about timber harvest. It's about mining in some places. Out west, it's about grazing. So there's this whole array of interests, and to, for the administration to focus solely on one interest at the expense of others, this is really what we have to think about. So this is not a radical approach at all. This is a very balanced, in my view, conservative approach, because it largely maintains the status quo and keeps options open for the future. You know, once you increase timber harvest vastly, you're basically moving into a situation where you cut it today, it's going to take, what, 50, 100 years before that cycle is going to come around again. So we have to maintain an even keel on this stuff.
Yeah, it just seems there seems a parallel, and I don't know if it's apples to apples or not, but what we often heard Donald Trump saying about, drill, baby, drill, so that we can have American energy dominance. Well, we already are. We already are a dominant exporter of oil. So to drill more, these are things that, you know, some of the companies might not want to do. They might not have the labor force to do that. And now it seems like we're saying something similar with the forest of, you just outlined all these local ways that the local and the state economy benefit, as opposed to the Trump approach seems to be just bring in a bunch of multinational companies, you know, to increase their forestry. That's assuming they even want to and have the capacity to do that. It just does not seem to be the kind of sustainable plan that was already in place, Mike.
Well, you know, that's right on. You know, for example, the last four or five timber sales that have been put up in the western side of the Shawamigan have been no bid sales. So the demand for that product really isn't even there. So, you know, it almost seems as though this executive order came under the guise of reducing imports from Canada, which we all want to be as sustainable locally as we possibly can, but with really little knowledge of what was going on locally and really little concern about long-term sustainability. When we look at forests, you know, we're talking, you know, not 2 and 4 year election cycles or 10 and 20 year economic cycles. We're talking about centuries. We started out with 16 million acres of forest in Wisconsin a few centuries ago of old growth. Now we have less than 16,000 acres out of the 16 million. So, you know, we need to be looking at how do we restore the forest? How do we maintain the productivity for the long haul for all resources? And this includes timber harvest and prescribed fire and thinning and fuel treatments and all that it takes to keep people safe and the forest productive and the water clean and places for tourists to enjoy the outdoors with their families.
Right. And Joe, it just sounds a lot more like this is more about privatization and selling off land that belongs to all Americans, you know, essentially to make a buck.
That is our concern, Pat. And as I said in the bottom of the graphic, if we as a nation are unwilling to respect and protect this common treasure, this is a treasure that all Americans hold equally, that we will need no defense department, as we have already doomed ourselves.
We're talking to Joe Hovell here. He is with Partners in Forestry Cooperative and Northwoods Alliance, and Mike Dombeck, who is the former head of the U.S. Forest Service. He and other former heads of the U.S. Forest Service have written a letter about the Trump administration's plans for national forests, for commercial logging. And again, as we've said previously, when it comes to drilling for oil, this was not necessarily what anybody was looking for, and certainly not a healthy practice. It may sound like it on its face. Donald Trump may try to sell it as such, but as you're hearing here from Joe and from Mike, that is most certainly anything but the case. Now, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Senator Kelda Royz about her bill that would remove politicians' roadblocks to women's abortion care rights. And Sean O'Malley will help us understand what we can do with our personal finances in this time of what I would call Trump-tastic uncertainty. Remember, you can follow what we do over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. And, of course, what we do right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, and it's time to find out what's happening around central Wisconsin here this morning. Again, we are with you twice in the 7 o'clock hour and twice in the 8 o'clock hour. So we're with you at 722, 752, 822, and 852 every morning, teaming up with Pat Kreitlow with our new morning show. Hopefully you can join us each and every weekday morning here on 98.9 WXCO. A quick note that tomorrow morning we have a special guest that will be joining us for multiple segments during our local time together. Jane Graham Jennings, who is the executive director of the Women's Community here in Wausau. So we'll be joined by Jane Graham Jennings to talk about a number of different issues when it comes to what she and the women's community does in our community. And also, I want to talk a little bit about the larger issues when it comes to how women and others are treated during this era of 2025. So Jane Graham Jennings of the Women's Community will be with us for multiple segments tomorrow morning here during our local time together on 98.9 WXCO. Also coming up later on today, we will have high school baseball weather permitting. There is a possibility that we could have a bit of a window early this morning getting some rain, but during the course of the middle part of the day towards late afternoon, possibility of a window to get some high school baseball in as the Marathon Red Raiders will be in action. Marathon taking on Spencer If the game is played, it'll be at Marathon High School. 4:35 for the pregame, 4:45 for the first pitch, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. NFL Draft wrapped up in Green Bay on Saturday, and some area news as a graduate of Stratford High School here in Central Wisconsin will be getting an opportunity in the National Football League with the New Orleans Saints. Stratford's Easton Kilty signed on with the Saints as an undrafted free agent. Kilty was signed by the Saints at the conclusion of the draft on Saturday. The Kansas State former player says he anticipated becoming an undrafted free agent or a seventh-round draft pick. After fielding a wide variety of calls, he felt the Saints was the right place for him. So Easton Kilty, Stratford High School grad, will get an opportunity to try to make the squad with the New Orleans Saints. Also, some Wisconsin Badger connections. It took a while, but some Badgers were able to get drafted late in the draft. Jack Nelson, Wisconsin offensive tackle, became the first Wisconsin player selected, going in the seventh round with pick number 218 to the Atlanta Falcons. At pick number 232, Hunter Wohler, the star safety for the Badgers, was picked by the Indianapolis Colts. A pair of former Badgers also had their name called within the draft. Tremere Dike, who had transferred to Florida, was selected by the Tennessee Titans in round four. And the Houston Texans took former Badger quarterback and former Florida Gator QB Graham Mertz in the sixth round with the 197th pick. And guard Joel Huber, who completed his career with Wisconsin, signed with the Minnesota Vikings as an undrafted free agent. And the numbers are coming in for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had the draft be our number for the day on Friday. But the numbers have come in, and the Packers and the NFL, and I think everybody throughout Wisconsin can be very proud that the Packers and the draft brought in over 600,000 folks over 3 days. 600,000 fans, and that smashed the conservative three-day estimate, which was 250,000. So, and also, from everything that I've heard, and again, I think there'll be a post-mortem about this, and we'll find out everything that we need to know on what worked and maybe some areas that could be better. So Green Bay get another opportunity for the draft. But from everything that we've heard and read about, that things went really well, that it did not halt everything in Green Bay and Eastern Wisconsin, that the plan was executed very well to keep people moving. It did not jam up everywhere in Green Bay and throughout the Green Bay area all weekend long. And in the end, it turned out to be a rather good promotion, I think, for Green Bay as well. A lot of folks tuned in for the draft on television, and a lot of folks came from out of the area to come to Green Bay and be part of that draft as well. So a lot of folks thought, hey, how can you do it with just a small community? How can you do it maybe without the number of hotel rooms that maybe you would think would be needed? How could you do it not in a large metropolitan area? Well, I think Green Bay, Brown County, Wisconsin showed that they can do it. So I would say congratulations. A good way for Packers President Mark Murphy in one of his final huge events to be able to get through it. And
congratulations.
Again, great for the state and great for Green Bay itself. And again, it's something that, and there was actually an interesting op-ed in the Green Bay Press Gazette today talking about how in an event like this, everybody would have to come together. And frankly, lots of issues these days, people do not come together because of this. Well, if you're not member of our political tribe, we're not going to work together. Well, in this case, everybody did work together, and it worked out very, very well. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned there as well. So congratulations. The time is 7:59 again. Some light rain falling here in downtown Wausau. Very light right now. Temperature is 49 degrees. We will talk about the potential of severe weather coming up in our next local update at 8:22 with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. So again, we'll find out the details on perhaps tornadic activity and severe thunderstorms later today. But coming up after the top of the hour news and information, Pat Kreitlow will join us again with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Kremlin announced today it'll declare a ceasefire on Ukraine May 8th through the 10th when Russia celebrates victory over Nazi Germany. CBS's Nancy Cordes at the White House.
Trump told reporters he wants a deal to end the war in 2 weeks or less. But major questions about territory, security, and rebuilding remain.
At the Vatican,
I have no comments.
A cardinal peppered with questions by reporters after the announcement the conclave to choose a successor to Pope Francis will begin May 7th. We're learning more about the man in Vancouver suspected of plowing his SUV into a crowd of people at a Filipino heritage celebration, killing 11, including a 5-year-old.